Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. It is Saturday, the 25th of January, 2020, and it is another episode of the Saturday Spotlight with your boy, the one, the only, that's E-R-Y, not R-E-Y, R-O-S-H-E-L-L, author Jeffrey Rochelle. And I welcome you again to another exciting episode of the Saturday Spotlight tonight. Tonight, we talk to author Aladia Duncan. We talk to new up-and-coming author Aladia Duncan. We talk to her about her work, her books, I should say, which is her work, who she is, and just get a brief, feel of who she is and just introduce her to the world. I believe she said this is her first radio blog interview, so she's probably a little nervous, but rest assured, lady, if you're listening, kick back, get you some fruit snacks, Twizzlers, or whatever you snack on, my sister, and something to drink, because you're going to feel right at home once you finish this interview tonight. So, as always, let's get started with the recap of my week. So, a lot of you know, and I think, first of all, I want to say thank you all for the kind words, the text messages, the calls, just anything you did to wish me well on the passing of my friend, Timothy Terrell Townsend. And tonight, I dedicate this episode to him. His recent death was very tragic, very sudden, very shocking when I got the news last Sunday night, because I had just talked to him 2 weeks ago, and to hear that he had passed was really, really shocking. It took an effect on me where I had to shut down completely and tune the whole world out Sunday night when I got the news. So it's been a trying week, but today we laid him to rest. I came and paid my respects to his family, his wife, Letitia Townsend, who I also had the opportunity to attend high school with. I came and paid my respects. And rest well, my homeboy, you're going to be missed. Tim was really cool. And I want to stress the fact that tomorrow is not promised, everybody. Live your life to the fullest. You never know when our number is going to be called. We never know how long we have on this earth. So that's why I try to treat everybody right. I try to be respectful. I also try to do what I can and everything I want to do, I should say, because I never know how long I have. So I never regret anything I want to do or anything that I do, I should say. And I cherish life so much. Life is so precious. We never know how long we're here. Tim leaves behind two teenage kids, and he wasn't even 40 yet. So it's like, man, you know, and a wife, my friend Letitia. So it's like, it's still, I'm taking it in. I'm real strong. But I say that to say, let's live your life and don't regret doing anything you do. always, always keep God first. And just like I said, just live your life because it's so short. We never know how long we're here. We're here today, and we could be gone tomorrow. And love on those that love you. If you hanging around people that you know are toxic to your energy, that you know are not reciprocating the same energy that you are for as a friend, and it could be a family member too, whatever, you got to let those persons or people, you know, go. You know, you don't need that energy to get on you and that negative energy, and it's draining you. I'm a prime example. My best friend of 18, 19 years, we speak, we cordial on Facebook, but I had to downsize that title because our relationship was very toxic to my energy. Like, it's like you had to watch what you would say around him because it'd be something sarcastic, you know, or whatever the case may be. And it's just like the energy is just draining. So you grow apart and you grow away from people and you learn to embrace new friends and you learn to bring on new energy. But anybody that's draining your energy, whatever the case may be, we got to learn to let those people go because at the end of a moment, we could be here today and gone tomorrow. And if you always the type of person that's reaching out to somebody that you call a friend and they need never reaching out to you, you always reciprocating the calls, always initiating stuff. But if you turn around and see that they not doing the same, then it's time to either downgrade their title as a friend or it's time to start hanging around some better people. And I had to do that for myself. So I have nothing against my friend. I have no bad blood, no beef. I just had to elevate myself because I know where I'm at and where I'm going in life, and I know the type of energy that I want around me. So needless to say, I'm cordial, I speak, but you would never know that me and this person was really more cooler than how we speak and cordial to each other now. You know, and it's just like I said, when your energy is drained, you get tired of being involved or hanging around people that are not reciprocating the same type of energy or, you know what I'm saying, the same type of feelings that you have for them. And I just love the people that love me. I saw a video where Taraji P. Henson was saying the same thing on Instagram. You cannot make everybody like you, and everybody's not going to like you. And she was like, you know, I understand that. She said, but I know I'm a good person. I know I live a good life. She was like, I know that my energy is positive. So she said, if you don't see that and you can't recognize that, then you just don't love me at all. And she said, I don't want you projecting your negative energy on me. She said, that could be who you are, but I don't want you projecting your negative energy on me. And I thought about that. I said, yes, we will say that, you know, well, people just like they, you know, they are who they are, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, people are who they are, but you don't have to accept that type of energy if it's not positive and it's not nothing motivating you towards your way. I will say this, me and my friend Tim, we were close, but we were not like close, like he was the best friend, but he was a friend. Like I said, I went to high school with him. I worked with him for a few years, and we would talk on Facebook every now and then since being, you know, not working with each other anymore. So I would have conversations with him like every so often. He would like my statuses. I would like his statuses, you know, whatever the case may be. And the one thing that he did when I first started writing books and I started publishing books was praise me for what I was doing. And it's like I've had family members and even my best friend that I used to consider a best friend not once say, congratulations that you wrote a book or I'm proud of you that you wrote a book. I was going through old messages that me and Tim had, old conversations over the past years or so on Facebook. And he looked at one of my stories because it said the story, and he praised me for writing books. And that told me up on the inside. I just had to cut up because it was like, that's a person that you can call somebody that's a friend. That's cool. You know, people don't have to praise you for what you do, but when they do, accept it. When it's genuine and you know it's genuine, accept it, you know, because people don't have to be nice to you. But accept it. And I knew he was being generally honest about what he was saying. So when I read that and saw that conversation that we had a year or so ago, it just told me up on the inside because here it is. I just talked to him 2 weeks ago, and now he's gone. Like, he's gone. And it's like, life is so precious. You know, we got to definitely, you know, value life a little bit more. Just like I said, love on the people that love you, because they're here today and gone tomorrow. If you got an issue with somebody that you can hash out, that you know it's an issue that you can hash out and you need to hash it out, do it. In my situation with me and my old best friend, we talked about the situation before. And in that situation, it's like it kept happening after talking about it. So with that, once you done talked about it and a person keep doing the same thing over and over again, they showing you who you are, so you got to believe them. So in that situation, no, I definitely had to step back. But in a situation to where you had a fallout with somebody you were cool with and you need to talk to them, I say by all means, do it. Talk to them. Hash it out, because you don't want to be going to a funeral and sitting there saying to yourself, this is something that I should have talked to this person about. This is something I should have hashed out with them, because now they're dead and gone, and you can't get that back. It's like, you know, it's done in a fleshly form. You won't ever get that back. So like I say, if it's an issue that can be hashed out, hash it out. Life is too precious. Life is too short, and we must embrace it daily. So everything I do, everything I say, if it's not bad or harsh, I never regret it, because I never know how long I'm going to be here. And as long as I'm shining my light and giving back and doing what I'm doing and I'm doing something positive, that's my reward. People talk about in this literary, you know, world, these authors that I hear, oh, you got to get this award and this and that and blah, blah, blah. When I set out to write books, my one major thing that I pointed out when I set out to write books is that I just wanted to tell stories. I never wanted to win any awards, even though I've won 2 awards for 2 of my books, but I never set out to win any awards. The only thing I want to do is tell stories that build up in my head that I know are good that I had to get published. So with that being said, I never look at it for an award on what I do. My reward is greater than that. I just want people to know who I am and read my books. That's it. That's all. But like I said, thank you to everybody that just wished me well, all those that sent text messages, the calls. I really appreciate it, because Sunday I was really going through it, and this week I was really going through it. But I know that he's in a better place. I know that he's, you know, shining down, looking on his family. They're going to be okay. You know, his kids will be okay. His wife, continue to pray for her, them, but they're going to be okay. It's going to be all right, you know. And like I said, today the show, tonight is dedicated to him. So definitely, with that being said, we're going to move right along. So as always, 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 this show is sponsored by Beggar's Pizza in Gary, Indiana, and they're open to 12 a.m. tonight. Their address is 4345 South Broadway in Gary, Indiana, and their phone number is 219-951-0695. That's Beggar's Pizza in Gary, Indiana. They're open till midnight tonight, and their phone number is 219-931-0695. And Mickey's on Stony, home of the famous jerk fries. They're open till 1 a.m. tonight. Their address is 8126 South Stony Island in Chicago, Illinois, on the southeast side of the city. And their phone number is 773-902-2800. That's Mickey's on Stony, home of their famous jerk fries. They're open till 1 a.m. tonight. And their phone number again is 773-902-2800. And Raise the Bar, located at 3350 West 159th Street in Markham, Illinois, serving sweets, hot food, and customized treats. Try their weekly good specials. They're open Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 2, 4 p.m. to 8 p.m., Saturday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., and Sunday, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., and their phone number is 708-566-4088. That's Raise the Bar. Their phone number again is 708-566-4088. And Pop Culture Gourmet Popcorn, home of the 50-plus flavors of popcorn. So it's not just butter, cheese, and caramel. They got jerk popcorn flavor, pizza popcorn flavor. You name it, they got it. They're located at 509 East 153rd Street in Phoenix, Illinois, located in the Phoenix Plaza off Halsted Street. and their hours of operation are Wednesday through Sunday, 12 p.m. to 6 p.m. Their phone number is 708-825-9105. That is Pop Culture Gourmet Popcorn. They're open Wednesday through Sunday, 12 p.m. to 6, and their phone number is 708-825-9105. And Layla Sports Bar and Grill, for your sports watching, happy hour, drinking needs, and dancing or bar eating. Their hours of operation are Monday through Thursday, 3 p.m. to 11 p.m., Friday, 7 p.m. to 2 a.m., Saturday, 7 p.m. to 3 p.m., 7 p.m. to 3 a.m., I'm sorry, and Sunday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. And their address is 14908 Chicago Road in Dalton, Illinois, and their phone number is 708-414-1088. That's Layla Sports Bar and Grill. They're open to 3 a.m. tonight. Their phone number is 708-414-1088. All right. So just to talk about the upcoming shows of February before we get into the author interview tonight. Upcoming, we have a pre-Valentine's Day show on February 8th. That is in a good 2 or 3 weeks from now. And on that show will be the Prince of Erotica himself, Cartier Julien. And he will also have on there with him author Tiffany Forbes will be returning again. And they will talk about their books of erotica. There will be some games played on that show that night. So it's going to be a really good show. So I want you all to definitely tune in on February 8th for that pre-Valentine's Day show. We have the Prince of Erotica, author Cartier Julien, and also Tiffany Forbes. And then we got Navi Robin stopping by in 2 weeks after that. And then in March, the first Saturday in March, we have new and upcoming Christian writer, author Jennifer Rochelle, who is my little sister. She will be talking about her book, From the World to the Word. And also on that show will be my aunt, the Reverend Lorenda Taylor. So that is kind of like a Christian show, and that's going to be something definitely exciting and looking forward to. My sister wrote a small, short biography about herself, told in story form, and her book is called From the World to the Word. And if you want to check that out, it's out on Amazon. Also, you can order copies through her via her Facebook page, Jennifer Leandra Rochelle. But check her out, definitely, her book, From the World to the Word. That is the first author published under my publishing company, Rowash Publishing. So congratulations to her. We look forward to having her on the Saturday Spotlight, the first episode in March. And her book is called From the World to the Word. And also, the end of March, we will be reading, I will start reading Terry McMillan's new book. She'll be coming out with a new book on March 31st. And for that month of the end of March up until April, I will be reading that book. So if anybody wants to join me in reading that book, we definitely can. I will highlight not the book so much, but talk about as I'm reading before, as I'm finishing the book, between that time of finishing it and at that point on whatever Saturday episode, just the highlights of the book, because I definitely want to start reading after I finish writing my fifth book, which will be out sometime in the summer. I do want to start reading other authors' work, because before I was a writer, I was a reader. And I think that if I was not writing books, I'd be a part of somebody's big book club. So one of these popular book clubs I probably would be in. So I definitely want to start reading other authors' work. So Terry McMillan is on that list. Author Jaquavius is on that list, him and his wife. There are several other authors that I want to start reading. So from March up until whenever, I'm just going to pick a book and just start highlighting and reading it for that month. All right. So without further ado, and I see her in the queue, we are going to welcome author Aladia Duncan, and I hope I'm saying her name correctly. If not, I know she will correct me when I bring her into the show. But everybody that's listening in on Radioland and also those that have called in, let's please welcome, without further ado, author Aladia Duncan. Aladia, good evening. How are you?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure. Good evening, brother. How you doing?
I'm doing good, doing good. How's your evening going?
Oh man, I was anticipating this, and I'm nervous, but I'm going to get through it.
Okay, okay. Well, I don't know if you heard me a little earlier. Just going to get, if you haven't, get you something to drink and your little favorite snack, because this definitely going to just go smooth. You ain't got nothing to worry about. We're going to get them kinks out and get you going so you, wherever you do your next interview at, you won't be so nervous, okay?
Yes.
All right. Well, tell us, who is author Aledia Duncan? Tell us where you're from, how many books you've written, and what inspired you to write.
Okay, my name is Aledia Duncan, and I'm from South Carolina. I grew up in the Lowcountry part of South Carolina, like the Beaufort and Hilton Head area. And a few years ago, I moved up here to Columbia, South Carolina. And I'm a self-published author of 6 books. I began writing at the age of 12 as a stress reliever. And I've been inspired by all of the greats, even, some unknown authors, but, you know, just to name a few, Toni Morrison, Terry McMillan, James Baldwin, Richard Wright, Maya Angelou, of course. My favorite, the reason why I began writing, Langston Hughes, I was obsessed with him, and Nikki Giovanni, because I write poetry as well, and also Oprah Winfrey, and Mary B. Morrison and Eric Jerome Dickey. Yeah, those are my inspirations.
Okay, okay. And you named a couple of my favorites, too, and I've been reading since I was about 10. I started reading adult fiction, which I shouldn't have been, but lo and behold, I'm an author just like you, and that's why, like you had highlighted too, because we've read these greats, and that's what inspired us as well. So definitely. So you said you got 6 books?
Yes, yes, brother. I recently published my 6th book on the 20th. It's available on Amazon right now. It's called Flames, Magic at Midnight. It's half and half. It's an erotic book. The first half is erotic poetry, and the second half is a short erotic story based in 1993 in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And when I write, I try to, like, be unorthodox. I don't like to follow the rules. I try to think outside of the box. You know, every time, you know, someone picks up a book by me and they read, they're like, wow, you know, I never expected this, or, you know, you're very innovative. I really just try to, when it comes to my writing, because it's an outlet for me, I really try to master my higher self when it comes to creativity and thinking outside of the box and trying to do what no one else has done. So, yeah.
Okay. So I want to ask you this, Aledia. Have you, like, worked on more than one book at one time? Because I kind of found myself in that avenue right now, because I do have 2 books coming out this year, and I kind of found myself where I'm getting bored with this 5th one that needs to be finished pretty soon, per my editor. And it's like I'm kind of piggybacking between that one and my 6th. So do you find yourself, since you said that's your outlet, have you found that to be something that you've done where you worked on one of your books, well, 2 of your books, I should say, that you've written already more than at one time? Or
okay, well, I was first, I self-published my first book back in December of 2018. And, you know, by the end of 2019, I already had 5 books published. What I do is I really try to, like, set a schedule. I am a mom. I have a daughter. And, you know, when I'm done doing my motherly duties, I go into my little, you know, mom cave, and I just set my mind to, you know, okay, I have to finish this book. This is what I'm going to do. Now, I have done that once. When I was working on my 2nd book, Gumbo, I had the idea to write this book about this woman who was struggling in her marriage with, you know, witchcraft and infidelity and, you know, family secrets. And I was like, well, you know what, that'll be a good book. And so in the middle of me writing Gumbo, I took a break and I began working on Satan, You Can't Have My Marriage. But I was able to finish them simultaneously but only because I was able to, you know, juggle the two. Like I said, I always make sure that I have a set schedule. I mean, it's hard now, but I don't really like to procrastinate. I like to get things done. So I was able to finish, and after that, after I published those two books behind one another, that's how I was able to, you know, go ahead and publish the other two. It's just that work ethic. It's a rhythm. Once you're able to get into that rhythm, oh, you smooth sailing, baby, like the Osley Brothers.
Oh, yes. And yes. I found myself in that rhythm because it's like you said, you smooth sail. It's like when you're in that writing flow, a lady, it's like you just be going and going and going. You want to sit up all night, even though you got to work in the morning and just type. I've been there. I understand. Yes. And I like when I get in that flow. Right now, I've been trying to find it. It's like it's been hitting me every now and then. But when I get that flow, I understand what you definitely mean saying that. It's like you added it and just want to just keep writing. Yes.
Exactly. Exactly. Because when you let go, like, you'll wake up the next morning like, man, I done got writer's block. So, see, that's why you have to continue. Like, because if you pause for a few days, it'll leave you now. Mm-hmm. So, like, why are you getting that inspiration and you have that motivation? Just go ahead and do it. Like, for example, if, like, you're waiting, you know, like, at the bus stop to pick up your child, or if you're, like, in the doctor's office, just type in notes on your phone. Like, as it comes to you, just jot down notes on your phone. Or if you have the Word app on your phone, hey, just go ahead and add a little something there. Like, that's how I was able to do it, brother. I'm telling you. It definitely is very beneficial. It's very beneficial.
Yes.
It really is.
Yes, yes, yes. It's been, like I said, times where I've been like, I know I got to go to work in about 3 hours, but I've been sitting up.
Right.
On that, in the zone. And I haven't found
right.
it yet. So, because I kind of stopped, like you said, and it's not good to stop, but I did stop. But it's slowly coming back. So I'm like I said, I got to knock this out because my editor been on me. Like, okay, I need something because you want this book done by June. I need
right.
something really, really soon. So definitely.
Right.
Now, I heard you mention the title, Satan, You Can't Have My Marriage.
Oh, yeah.
Can you tell us something about that one? Yeah, I wanted to hear about that one, Satan, You Can't Have My Marriage.
Okay, Satan, You Can't Have My Marriage. It's my third book, as I mentioned earlier. And to be honest, because I'm from the low country part of South Carolina, I'm going to spill a little bit of tea. I hope, you know, my hometown don't get, you know, upset with me, but I'm just going to keep it real. Where I'm from, because of the history there, you know, with the slaves, first being brought there, you know, on the coast, because where I'm from, we live by the water. That's why seafood is really big in our cuisine. The slaves who were brought there, they brought a lot of their culture, and witchcraft was a huge part of their culture. So where I'm from, witchcraft is like a second religion. And so with me going through my own experiences, knowing how it played a part on certain family members and even in my parents' marriage, because they're divorced now. But I got the idea, you know, I need to write a story about my experiences and about the experiences of others. So basically, it's about this 45-year-old caseworker. She's a DSS, well, Child Protective Service. Caseworker, but you know, here in South Carolina, we called it DSS. But she's a caseworker, but she decided to leave her job, and her husband, who is a doctor, they decided to move down south to Beaufort County, where I'm from. And, you know, a lot of family, her husband ended up having a lot of family secrets. He had this childhood best friend who is a witch. She comes from a bloodline of witches. And you ever saw that movie, The Skeleton Key? It's very similar
to
The Skeleton Key. So witchcraft played a part and tried to break up their marriage. And the only way she was able to make it through the storm with her husband was through faith and crying out to God and, you know, becoming one as man and wife, as husband and wife, and saying, you know what, their witchcraft may be strong, their voodoo may be strong, but, you know, we made a vow before the Most High God, and we're going to get through this. But it's a lot of twists and turns. A lot of people who've read the book, they're expecting a part two because of the way it ended. Because, you know, the girl, well, I don't want to give too much away, but, you know, the husband, he's kind of, you know, the husband, he's kind of, it seems like he's a little shady too. So a lot of my readers were like, wait a minute, I don't really trust the husband, but I will be working on it part two because, you know, like okay. I said, the husband, you know, some of his ways was a little, you know, a little mysterious and questionable as well. But I really, like, God placed that on my heart to write that book because there's so many people in marriages, but they either feel trapped or they feel unfulfilled, they feel unsatisfied. But if you truly love that person, you go to Christ, you go to the Most High, and you say, Father, help my husband or help my wife, and you can get through it, you know. But that was the main basis of the book, and, you know, the message I was trying to relay was never give up. You know, if you feel this is the person you're supposed to be with, turn to the Most High, turn to Christ. You know, he can work it out.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Hey, I will say amen yes. to that. Definitely. And now, is this book on Amazon? You can get it on Amazon, right?
Yes, love. It's available on Amazon and ebook
okay.
on Kindle Unlimited as well as paperback.
Okay, I'm definitely going to probably check that one out. That's definitely the yes, Satan, yes. And have my marriage, yes. Definitely. Definitely. Okay. So, my next question, Aladia, is this. Have you ever, I should say, I'm picking it back to what we was just like talking about too. Have you ever experienced any writer's block? Like, have you ever had a point in your, when you were writing that you felt you just couldn't go on or anything discouraged you? Have you ever been at any of those points when you, with your writing since you, during your publisher books?
Oh, yes. I am so glad you asked this. Yes. Let me tell you. With two books, I thought I was never going to finish. With my fourth book, Secrets Under My Tongue, I thought I would never finish that book. And with this one recently, Flames, Magic at Midnight, I just got stuck. I mean, like, you know, one time the flow was, you know, going and I was on point and everything, but just it's just sometimes I don't know. Sometimes I get stuck. It's like your brain freezes and he's like, well, you know, this is a good plot, but how can I end it? Or, you know, how does this match the ending? Or, you know, what could I make the character do? Like, it is very complex sometimes. And with this recent book, oh, man, I was supposed to have this book released in September of last year. But, you know, my mom got sick and things like that, and I didn't finish the book until December. You know, so, I mean, yeah. And that's another thing, too. I don't want authors to beat themselves up, you know, if they have writer's block. Trust me. Like I said, I thought it was impossible to finish those two books. But, hey, I finished them, and they all were on the, you know, new release and bestsellers list. So it you can't force it sometimes. Your creativity as a writer, trust me, it's in you, so it will come back. You know, sometimes your
right.
mind just needs, you know, rest or like you said, you know, motivation or, you know, inspiration from somewhere. You know, the strangest things can give you inspiration. Like I was watching Girl 6 by Spike Lee, and that
okay.
helped me finish my sixth book, you know. you know, we as writers, because we're so creative, we can find inspiration from anything. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So being a writer is definitely a gift, you know?
Yes.
So,
Yes, because mine is music. Like, if I'm listening to a good playlist and some, I don't know if you've seen it with any authors that you're friends with on Facebook, too, but sometimes I'll get an author to put up a playlist and say, okay, I got a playlist, and I know Cartier Julien, he's done that for a couple of authors, and I looked at it as well. He'll post a playlist for you to listen to when you're writing your book. And I find that that's
right.
very therapeutic for me. And I also have it's an Alexa, yeah. I have an Alexa. Do you have one of those at home? Because those are good, too.
No, you know what, man? I don't, but I need to get one.
Yes. I'm telling you,
I need to get one.
You gotta invest. Yes, please, please do. When you get a chance, get that because that is definitely helpful when you're sitting there writing too because you can just yell out a song you want to hear. And if that song gets
right.
you in your zone, definitely it's helped. That has helped me. Yes, yes.
Okay, I'm definitely going to get one.
Yes, invest in definitely in an Alexa. Yes, definitely. So out of all six of your books, which one or ones are your favorite that you've written?
Ooh, okay, let me see. All right. You know what? I love all of them. I do. But my three favorites are Satan, You Can't Have My Marriage. You know, sometimes I can't believe I wrote that story. Like, that came from, like, it's like I pulled that story from out of, like, the pits of my gut. Like, oh, my goodness, it's so deep. But, okay, Satan, You Can't Have My Marriage, Secrets Under My Tongue, and the most recent one, Flames, Magic at Midnight. I mean, I love all of them, but those three, oh, man, like, I'm telling you. I don't know. And see, you know what? Another thing. As a writer, you're constantly reaching new heights and new levels of creativity. So with each book, you get better. You find new inspiration. You find new material. Right. You find new ideas. And I believe that's what it is. You know, you're constantly growing as a writer. A writer can literally write until the day they die because, you know, just being human, you never stop learning. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But us having the ability to reach thousands and thousands of people, you know, being a writer and having readers that we're able to influence and inspire, you know, that's a gift in itself. But I just think for me, with each book, I get better because I'm constantly being influenced. I'm constantly on a search for knowledge. I'm constantly on a search for new material, trying to think out of the box. So, but yeah, those three are definitely my favorites.
Okay. Have you won any awards for any of those?
You know what? I haven't. And I'm going to speak on that when you let me get a chance.
Okay. Well, go ahead.
Yes. Okay. Well, you know what? This is the thing. And you know what? You touched on it earlier as well. You know what? I feel that a lot of new writers and a lot of seasoned writers are unnoticed. Like, it's like we go unnoticed and our material is so good all because we're not signed to this big publishing company or we don't have, you know, the best following. But let me tell you, brother, I've been self-publishing myself for a whole year now, and I wouldn't trade it for the world. I feel if this God's will for me to get that huge audience and that right recognition, then it's going to come to me. You know what I'm saying? But writing is very fulfilling to me. You know what I'm saying? I write for myself, and I write to reach people and inspire me. Because even in my erotic books, it's still a message. You know what I'm saying? But to make it plain, it does bother me, though. It does bother me because I've been bitten by some big-time writers, and it hurts me that people will buy their book and be like, oh, look what they came up with, not knowing that, oh, she stole that from Aleda. See, they don't know that because I'm an unknown author, and it does bother me. You know what I'm saying? Right. But I do feel if it's the creator's will, I will get noticed one day. And, you know, I'm not the only one. It's a lot of us who feel this way. You know, it's a lot of us who are dope, man. I mean, we are masters at what we do, but because we don't have that following or that big-time publisher, people overlook our masterpieces. But it's okay. Like, for you or for anybody that's listening right now, trust me, our time is coming, honey. Bank on that.
Definitely. And I just want to touch and say I definitely feel like you too. And that was one of the reasons why I created this show, because when I first started out 4 or 5 years ago, this is how I kind of sort of got myself off the ground by doing these type of podcast shows. And I had noticed that the ball was dropped and nobody was doing them. So that's when I said, you know what? I want to do my own literary blog show. And I want to give back, and I want to bring on authors that no one knows about. Because like you said, no one knows about us because of the other big-time authors and, you know, not that so big publishing company, you know. And I've kind of also experienced a little bit of that by doing book events, too. Like, they'll pass you up for the person that's there that's known. And your book is just as good as this because you're not known.
Exactly.
It's like nobody's flocking to you. Like, so it's like I've experienced that as well, too. And then I also, and I have to say this, there is two girls I went to school with, and I know they love to read. And it doesn't really bother me, Aladia, but it's kind of got, like, I've gotten in my feelings about it. Like, they love to read. They reach out to certain authors that are big time that they kind of talk to. But they know I write books. And it's like they've never said, well, I'm going to check your book out. Or I'm not, you know, so I'm going to go buy your book. But I'll see them talk to Quan, or I'll see them talk to Jaquavius Coleman, and they have conversations with them. I'm like, y'all know I write books, and I've never gotten the same type of feedback from y'all. And I went to school with y'all, and I know y'all. So it's like, I definitely understand what you say. And it's like, that kind of, I kind of was like, you know, I'm not going to let it bother me, but it has gotten under my skin a little bit. So it's like, I definitely know what you mean.
Oh, brother, let me tell you something. Listen, we are reflections right now. Listen, it has gotten to the point where I ain't going to lie. Don't you know it's been several times I wanted to give up. But then, let me say this. People who will discover me and they read my work, they'll be like, wow, you wrote this?
Yeah.
Like, wow, you are dope. And see, that's how it is. But listen, what you said about those girls, it's the same way with me. Don't you know I have girls that I was cool with since the sandbox, girls I went to school with. And don't you know they will not support me? And wait a minute. Let's get on family. Hey, I'm just going to go ahead and say it.
Go ahead. A lot
of my family members, they don't support me. I'm just going to keep it real tonight. Even they don't support me. And it does hurt, you know. I'm a water sign. I'm a Pisces. So, you know, we're sensitive by nature. It does bother me because at least you would expect family, right? But, hey, you know.
And I will say, too, I do have a little bit of my family that does, but I'm definitely the same way with you. Like, the majority of my family is like, you know, oh, we know you wrote books. Okay, well, then can you at least buy one book and support me? And then my best friend, who I had to elevate, I don't know if you have heard in my previous conversation before I brought you in, but even him, as a best friend, none of my books, Aladia, none of them. I had given him two books because he had said when he first started when I was writing, because I'm your best friend, you should be able to give me two books.
That's not supporting your friend.
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly. But by me being the friend that I was at that time, I said, okay, I'm going to go ahead and give them to you. But I had to piggyback and think about that conversation. Like, how are you considering yourself my friend when you should first and foremost be going in your pocket and saying, here, as your friend, let me support you and buy the book instead of expecting you to give me the book? And yeah, that was the conversation. Because I'm your, because we cool like that, you should be giving me your, no.
No, it doesn't work like that. Yeah.
Exactly. So it's definitely, I understand what you mean with that. And it's like I said, it gets frustrating and hard. But our reward is going to be greater, like you said, because that's the one thing I want to definitely concentrate on next year is marketing myself. Because if I can definitely do it, and that's the one thing I want to do is to get my name a little bit more out here in Chicago. So I've been doing events and stuff like that. But I feel what you said with that. Our reward definitely is going to be greater later on.
Yes,
might not
yes,
be
it is,
now,
brother.
But later on, it's coming. It's definitely coming.
And I want to say another thing, brother, if you don't mind. I want to say something when it comes to male authors. I've been looking around, and I am glad that I'm seeing on, you know, the web and specifically Facebook, I do see that there are more male authors coming in now. And I'm like, this is what we need. Like, no offense to the ladies, because I know how this feminist thing is, but I mean, I don't want nobody to bite my head off. But I mean, it's so many female authors. I'm like, where are the brothers? You know what I'm saying? Like, I want, like, for example, you know how you have certain publishing companies and it's just nothing but females. I'm like, open up room for, you know, the men to come in. Like, I love male writers. Like, most of my favorite authors are male writers. Like, I mean, I just think, okay, life is all about duality. Life is all about balance. You know, man, woman, good, evil, life, death, whatever. So I'm like, even in the author arena, okay, we clearly see that we have a domineering female presence in our industry right now. But what about the brothers? Like, come on, man. Like, so if any male authors are listening right now, y'all, come on. Like, come on in. Like, we need that balance. Like, you know, I, just to see things from a different point of view, you know, because a man views things differently from a woman. Like, so meaning a man could write something totally different from a female. And I just want to see that, you know. And I just think that's a part of my curiosity and, you know, my imaginative nature and things like that. I just want that balance of male and female energy when it comes to, you know, the author community. That's all.
Okay. So I definitely hear that. And I've definitely heard that before. So that's not nothing that is surprising to me, that, but what you said, I've definitely heard that before. And I definitely hope that as the men, we can definitely put ourselves out there a little bit more, because you're not the first female author or female, I should say, personally to make that statement. So I definitely hear you on that one too. Okay. So Aladia, three good things that you would give someone that comes to you and say, hey, I know you've written 6 books. I'm trying to write a book. What 3 good pointers or tips could you give an up and coming author?
Okay. One, I would let them know about the self-publishing process. Me, I found out about Kindle Direct Publishing through a sister. She's also an author, a great author. Her name is K.A. Williams. She has many books. For years, I was like, you know what? I have all of these poems. I have all of these short stories. I need to get published. And then she told me about Author Central on Amazon and Kindle Direct Publishing. So I would tell them about Kindle Direct Publishing. If they wanted to know, well, what about covers? How do I get covers made? I make covers, but it's a lot of sisters in the industry who write and make covers as well. I could also tell them about, if they wanted to know, well, how do I edit and format my book? There's a website called Fiverr. I think it's Fiverr or Fiverr. It's spelled F-I-V-E-R-R. And I was like, hey, that's how I started, because now, you know, I edit and format my own books. But in the beginning, when I first started, yes, that's the website that I use. And so those are the 3, but, you know, I would add a 4th thing to them, a 4th tip, never give up. Because I'm telling you, man, when I first entered into this author thing, I just thought I was going to have it going on. I'm going to be on the New York Times, but hey, honey, it don't work like that. So I would tell them, do not give up and have patience. Patience is key in this community. It truly is. Do not give up and have patience. So I will tell them about Kindle Direct Publishing. I will tell them about, who makes book covers, you know, if they wanted to know about that, Fiverr.com. And I will tell them to have patience, you know, never give up.
Yes, that definitely good. 4 good points. Good points. So, Aladia, what's coming up for you with this year? What should we expect from you? What are you going to be doing this year, 2020? Like, what good events and things, or, you know, what's coming up for you?
Well, you know what? I am looking into going to an event, because I'm so embarrassed to say this, but I've never been to an event. Never. I've never been to an event. I do want to go to the Atlanta Kickback, but I'm not sure if registration has closed or not. So maybe that's shot for me. But
Hold on. Let me just tell you. I'm going to cut you off. It hasn't, and I actually had to text. I had to email Monica myself, because every time I get ready to pay for a table, Aladia, because I'm gonna be there, I'm anticipating on going, something comes up. So I've been like communicating with her the last couple of weeks. Like, has any tables been? Is it sold out? And she's been telling me no. So no, it's not done yet.
Really?
Yeah, it's not done yet. Because I've been communicating with her the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, you know what, brother? I need to go ahead and get my table, ain't it?
Yes. Every time you're ready to pay for mass, something comes up. So I've been just like, even, I know she's tired of me, but I'm emailing her like every week, like, it ain't sold up yet. And she's like, no, you still got time. I said, okay, I'm coming.
Right.
It's like everything that come in, I have to pay for this, I have been paid for that. So it's like the next check I get, I'm putting my money down to pay for my table for the kickback. Yes.
Right. But see, my thing is I've never done it before, so I'm like, how will I set up my table? How will I get posters? You know, like, see, I don't know. Like, I'm so out of the loop, like, when it, yeah. So, and you know what, to be honest, that's really what has been holding me back because I don't really know the process, you know. But I'm going to look into it. But what's coming up for me, I would definitely love to do events, have more author interviews. Because being a indie author, an independent author, it really is all on you. It's about promoting yourself. And see, me, I do everything by myself. I edit, format, make my own book covers. I promote myself. So see, it's a lot, you know. And but sometimes it is good to have a team. So like if you have, you know, other authors who are cool or promoters that you know, it is good to, you know, get involved with them as well to expand your brand and you know, notoriety. But I would love to do events. I write poetry as well. I would love to, you know, do some poetry events, some spoken word, you know, just, you know, anything to, like, reach others and, you know, inspire others who are just now entering into this community or, like, they want to be independent with their work, you know, and also to, you know, gain, you know, publicity or whatever. Like, I would love to get noticed because I am pretty slept on, but when people do give me a chance, they are blown away, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely feel that. Definitely feel that. Now, are you familiar with a literary affair? It's in Greenville, South Carolina. I did that event last year, and I know you. Are you? You say you're in South Carolina near that area, right?
Yes. I am familiar with it, and but I haven't reached out. You know, reached out to them or anything. And see, you know, another thing, being a single mom, you know, it's like, well, who's going to keep my daughter? Or, you know, if I bring her with me, you know, who can watch her for me? I mean, so it's a lot. You know, I'm a single mom and I'm a self-publisher. So, yeah, it's pretty, yeah.
Okay. Well, just to check it out, I think, Alayda, you should go check it out just to see how the process is, since you definitely want to know
right.
how things go. I say go check it out if you can. That day is held. Teresa Brown, of course, is over it, but definitely go check it out. She'll be there, but definitely go check it out just to see how things will go.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get your table for the kickback, you'll know how you want things to, you know, set up for yourself and everything.
Right. Thank you, brother, for letting me know. I appreciate that.
Definitely. No problem. Well, tell us, where can we reach you at on social media?
Okay, on Facebook, author Alayda Duncan. My name is spelled A-L-I-A-D-A, Duncan, D-U-N-C-A-N. On Twitter, at Alayda Duncan, my first and last name. And on Instagram, at Alayda, the author, all lowercase. And if anyone wants to contact me through email, it's Alayda. Duncan@yahoo.com. And with that being said, I am working on getting a website. So I will be working on a website soon, you know, because I am trying to build my professionalism. So I will be having a website up pretty soon.
Okay. Awesome. Well, Alayda, I thank you for coming on tonight. It was definitely a pleasure. I hope all your nervous kinks are out, because we definitely
yes.
had a good time. You didn't seem as nervous
yes,
as you
thought
you were going to be. So definitely, I thank you for coming on, and I hope to have you on again sometime soon.
Yes, thank you, brother.
No problem. And you have a good rest of your weekend, too.
You too.
All right, and I'll talk with you soon.
All right.
And there you have it. Everyone in listening world, we have author Alayda Duncan. Check her out on Facebook. She's on Facebook and also Instagram. Her Facebook handle is author Alayda Duncan, A-L-I-A-D-A-D-U-N-C-A-N. That's author Alayda Duncan. We appreciate her coming on tonight. Check out her books. She's definitely a good author that is definitely slept on, but she seems like she has some good titles, and I will be checking out that title on Satan, You Can't Have My Marriage, and I possibly will be reviewing it and also giving her a review and talking about the book as well. But Author Aledia Duncan, thank you for coming on tonight. Next week, we talk to Author Champagne. Starts February. February is Black History Month. It is Black Authors Month as well. So if you are a reader and you love books, support us. Read our books. If you have not read anything by me, get at me. Read our books, because it's so much that you miss out on when you have a certain preference, when you prefer other people. You always need to check everybody out. And I'm challenging everyone that has a certain genre that they read, I'm challenging you to take a chance and read an author of a different genre or author you never heard about starting next month, because next month is our month, Black History Month, and come on now. We need to support everybody. We all want to be supported. We all want to get a chance to hear a person say, I loved your work. I loved the book that you wrote. You are a good author. Because I feel like I'm slept on, but I'm changing that because that's on my vision board. Y'all just don't know. I'm going to be hitting these events. I normally hit these events, but I'm going to be hitting these events. I want you to know who Jeffrey Rochelle is. If I don't win another award for any other book I write in my lifespan on this earth, I want people to know who I am, and I want people to be flocking to my inbox, getting at my Cash App. Hey, you got your book out yet? I want to read it. I don't compare myself to Quan. I don't compare myself to Jaquavius and Ashley Coleman. I don't compare myself to Eric Jerome Dickey or any other authors that align up as my brother and sister in this writing field. But I'm letting you know, me, especially after having this positive conversation with Aledia Duncan tonight, that you will know it's not who I am. You have read my books, because I have 4 books that I've written, 2 have won awards for them. And I still feel like I'm not where I need to be at. So next year, I'm taking a sort of a break from writing to concentrate on marketing. I'm hitting as many events that I can get to, and I'm getting the word out there. Because if I had the money to pay for a marketing team, I would. But I'm just not balling in that money yet. And as you all, some of you know, I start my new job a week from this Monday coming up, I start my new job, and I'm bringing in a little bit more money than what I was bringing in from this job I'm leaving after 2.5 years. But, you know, people want you to be, you know, pay them. So I definitely need to invest in the marketing team, but I'm doing everything by myself. Also, I want to say before I get off the phone, the line today, is that the Saturday Spotlight may be looking for another assistant co-host. You know, I had Sean Starling, but Sean moved on to bigger and better things. You know, I missed that brother, but he moved on to bigger and better things, and I wish him well. So I may be looking for a new co-host for the Saturday Spotlight. So be on the lookout for that. But with that being said, have a good rest of your weekend. Have a good upcoming week. Always, what you do for Christ is the only thing that will last. And I will see you next Saturday as we talk to Author Champagne on the Saturday Spotlight. Good evening.
Preview.